You are listening live to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hook, your host. Glad to have you with us on this Monday. It's going to be a hot one out there. Remember to stay hydrated as much as possible as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. It's June again, so you know what that means. Here in Kansas City, the 26th annual Heart of America Shakespeare Festival kicks off tomorrow night. And here to tell us all about what's going on, they're doing much ado about nothing. No, they're not talking about any of their programs here on the radio station, but much ado about nothing. And here to tell us all about it, the director of the show and the executive artistic director of the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, Sydney Garrett, is with us once again.
Hi, Michael.
Glad to have you with us once again to talk about this. She brought along two of the performers in the show. Cinnamon Schultz is back again. It has not been that long.
No, it hasn't.
She's playing the role of Beatrice. She has many credits. When I looked her up, I found mostly movie credits, and she has more movies than I even thought she did. But she was most recently, at least from what I saw, in Sea Marks at the Kansas City Actors Theater with, strangely enough, Darren Kennedy, who is also here today. Welcome to the show.
Good morning,
Darren Kennedy.
Thank you.
They were both in Sea Marks together. Cinnamon, she's been at the Unicorn, the Rep, the Coterie Theater for Young America, and I won't go into a lot of details. I did one other time, but she was in the Academy-nominated movie Winter's Bone.
Yes.
As well as many other films that she's been in. Darren plays the role of Benedict. He has been, of course, in Sea Marks at Kansas City Actors Theater. The Unicorn has many... The Shakespeare Festival several times now.
This is my second year.
In the Park.
In the Park. Did another... show Merchant of Venice, which wasn't in the park.
Yeah. Yeah. Many television credits, too numerous to mention. And a sum of you who watched the daytime dramas. He was Dr. O'Donnell in General Hospital.
Yep, for a little while. Kind of a reoccurring character for about 3 years or so.
You essentially do a short play every day when you do that.
You do. You say the same things over and over and over again. But,
I can imagine. Shakespeare probably is more difficult, even than
just
that.
A touch. Just a touch. Yeah, a lot more words.
Yeah, and you're doing it outside, too. So.
Yes, but it hadn't been too bad. It was a hot weekend, but...
When John Benson House was here a few weeks ago, he said he was sort of glad because it was going to be a hot summer. I'm not in this one. He says, not this year. He says, I'm going to go see it.
Yeah.
But he was glad that he didn't have to put on the garb and do that. Well, Sid, you picked Much Ado About Nothing.
That's right.
why that particular one?
It is a really popular play. Audiences love it. It's a great play for people who've seen it before to see it again. We haven't done it for 14 years, so that's a long time. The top 10 produced plays of Shakespeare's canon, those are done, you know, in a routine rotation because they are popular. And I always look at it as if we're getting a whole generation of young people who haven't ever seen this play live. So, 14 years, that's a time for a child to be born and be almost 14 years old and ready to see a Shakespeare play. So we did Hamlet last year, which was a great thing for our 25th season, a great tragedy. I like to give us something different, so I wanted to reach back and find something that I felt really strongly and passionately about. I love the story of it. I love the characters very much, especially Beatrice. It's an amazing character in Shakespeare for a woman.
Yes.
The feminine energy of this play is really important. It's a really balanced play in that way that many of them are not in terms of the masculine and feminine energies, mm-hmm. I think. We had done a reading of this, a script in hand reading a couple of years ago, and Cinnamon read this role. And at the time, I was just like, we just need to put it on its feet. So here we are.
Yay. Yeah, they always say about Shakespeare, they fall into three categories, comedies, tragedies, and historical dramas.
Right.
So this falls into the comedy category.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a romantic comedy, and it's the great tradition of the warring, sparring couple, you know, who've had a history of some kind, and no matter what they meet, there's always something between them, even if it's not expressed love at the time, and we're all just rooting for them to wake up and smell the coffee and know that they're in love.
Yeah, Shakespeare repeated a lot of his themes, don't you think?
Sure.
They seem to show up again and again and again.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, it's because it's real life. That's the great thing about Shakespeare is it is for all time, because that still happens in our modern day world. That relationship has been in, you know, it's Moonlighting on TV. It's Cheers. It's Three's Company. Not Three's Company.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Much Ado About Nothing. There's
right.
something that, like, that's true. Someone said this and they believe it, and the whole episode.
There's that. Life. Yes. Yeah. There is that ridiculousness of people not really trusting. And people wearing masks, and people being in disguise, and people masking their feelings, and not wanting to be vulnerable. I mean, that is eternal, you know. So, it's timely, as always.
Cinnamon plays the role of Beatrice.
Yes.
How does Beatrice fit into this story of Much Ado About Nothing?
Well, she's rare breed in the sense that she is not wanting anybody to believe that she's into romance. She's a very strong, independent woman. And she loves to be witty as much as she can. That's what she prides herself probably most on, is, you know, cracking jokes, making everybody laugh, and making everybody believe that she doesn't need anybody else. But, of course, those are all the brick walls that she puts up.
Yeah, she puts up walls.
Oh, many.
Many, many. What about Darren, who plays the role of Benedict?
Yes, almost you can just copy what she said and put it underneath Benedict. But yeah, same thing. He loves to be witty. He also likes to be independent and doesn't have a need for a mate. But he's also a strong character. But he wants to have fun as well, mm-hmm. and that's kind of his main thing for a while.
Yeah, you and Cinnamon did Sea Marks together. It's been a while since I've seen Much Ado. Are you connected in this show?
I think so.
Yes.
Sea Marks, it was a two-character play, and there were definite arcs to both of those characters, and we, spent obviously a lot of time together, two actors in one play, and we had a great time with Sea Marks, and it was a great play to do. I was lucky enough to do it. But I think that, we already had the trusts and mm-hmm. everything in there and the connection, and we're just able to filter it into this play on different characters.
Exactly.
So it always casts a bunch of Kansas City favorites. So whom all is in this show with you?
So many wonderful people that I will no doubt forget some names, and I'll feel terrible after.
Oh, listen, I need to feel terrible.
We have Mark Robbins, David Fritz, Jan Rogge, Matt Rapport, Scott Cordes. We have some new people in here, too. I'm trying to make sure
Matt
I remember.
Williamson.
Matt Williamson, thank you. Zach Sudbury, Khalif Gillette, Josh Gleason is new. Mm-hmm. We have two guys named Josh. We have two guys named Matt. We have Josh LeBrun, R.H. Wilhoit, J. Will Fritz, and Chris Stoker. And then we have two wonderful young people who are teens who have come up through our... we do Camp Shakespeare, and we also do year-round Shakespeare classes, Team Shakespeare. And we have two young people from that group, Hattie Wilcheski and Will Morris, who are playing roles in the show as well. So they got to move up to the big stage, and they're delightful and well-prepared and well-trained young people to be
You must have been impressed with them to move them up. If there's someone listening, a young person who's interested in maybe going through your camps mm-hmm. next year, how would they do that?
They can just go online at kcshakes.org. There's information there and an ability to enroll. Camps are happening this summer. And then we do year-round training as well, Shakespeare Conservatory and Team Shakespeare. So the great thing about our classes is they get them on their feet walking and talking Shakespeare right off the bat. And so having 5 or 6 years of that kind of training behind them, these young people are more than ready to step into roles in a Shakespeare play.
Oh, I've heard directors say different things. I've heard a director say, oh, it's the hardest thing in the world to get the actors to speak properly doing Shakespeare. Then another director sat down and said, I think it's the easiest thing in the world to get them to convert over to this. What's your experience been after all the years that you've done this?
I don't think it's either or. I mean, I think for some people it's more difficult, and some people it's not. And some people have had training in it, extensive training, you know, in a university setting or a conservatory setting. Cinnamon has an MFA, and I'm sure she did a lot more classical theater than some actors who maybe only went to a four-year BA program or BFA program. And some people just come out knowing how to speak it. It's you just don't know. It's, you know, the great thing about the text on the page is Shakespeare is an incredible writer, and if you follow the punctuation, you're more than halfway there. You look yes. where does he tell us to take a pause? Where is a comma? Where is a period? Where is a full stop? Where is an exclamation point? If you use that and play through that, then a lot of the work can be done for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Michael, oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that once you get used to the language itself, it translates really easily, honestly. And it's not as highbrow as some people might think it is. It's made to be quite lowbrow at times, which makes it even more fun.
Yeah. He was doing it for, I guess he was commissioned to write plays for the upper crust.
No, for the theater for all, because the theater used to be, you know, the globe was a certain shape, sort of an octagonal shape, with the groundlings at the very bottom. So they stood below the stage. So those were the poorest people of all. And then as you moved up the tiers, then that's where you paid more money to sit up in the tiers. So it was for everybody. And, you know, a lot of his comedy was the Saturday Night Live of its day. I mean, it was written.
Yes.
So some of the wordplay doesn't make sense to us anymore. So we have to try to physicalize what we can. And then some of it we just have to lose because a modern audience can't track through it.
Well, they were always making fun of the kids. King in one play, the upper crust in other plays, but they were always doing that. He had fun doing that, and you know, he probably rubbed some people the wrong ways at times along the way. Do you happen to know anything? It's not important in this context, but you happen to know about the history of this play, when it happened and the circumstances of when it was performed?
I do, but I don't right now.
Okay.
Because I've been in rehearsal for 7 days and have no brain left. I'm sorry. I, of course, read all that before we began. You know, this is in Queen Elizabeth's reign.
Yes.
And so having a strong female character was not a bad thing during that period of time, given that she was a single, powerful ruler of a huge dominion and a powerful figure. So.
Oh, sure. The costumes always have to be a challenge. I'll ask Cinnamon what she wears and how you deal with that.
Well, I wear many layers and a wig. So, yes, it's hot. But to be honest with you, after several years of doing it, you just kind of get used to it. You know what's going to happen going into it, and you realize that you just try the best you can to ignore the sweat. And when you get off stage, you stand in front of a giant fan for as long as you can until you have to go back on stage.
Yeah.
But it's fun. The costumes are fun.
Do you have many changes? You probably do.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. During this show, I change back and forth 4 times, I believe, and have 3 costumes that I kind of mix and match and do different things with.
I was very lucky. I only have 1 outfit, and I get to put a jacket on and off. But I don't know if we mentioned what the time setting that we
didn't.
Set in.
We're setting this in the 1930s.
Oh, okay. So it's not really? Traditional Shakespeare, you know, heavy layers.
Would not be Shakespeare, period. Yeah.
Right, Shakespeare, period. Yeah.
Not Elizabethan.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different. It's set in the 1930s.
A little different, yeah. In the 1930s. So you wanted to have more of a Depression era feel to it?
Well, this is set in the Mediterranean, so it's the boot heel of Sicily and then the visitors coming over from Spain. So it's sort of, we just looked at the Spanish Civil War time frame and thought about, the men are coming from war, so they're all in their uniforms. So the war has ended. We just had to put it in a time and a place. So that's what we did. And we tried to, I think that people will find this, the setting is absolutely gorgeous. I think the scenic design is beautiful and well articulated, and lighting on the set is beautiful. We have a composer, Greg McIndar, who composes
beautiful
original music. This play has 2 dances and 2 sung live songs. Songs that are sung live is what I meant to say. So he composed, you know, Shakespeare does the lyrics and the text, but Greg composed the music to fit the 1930s as well. He composes all of the transitional music and is also designing sound for us this year. So all of those elements have come together beautifully. I think the costumes are gorgeous, vibrant,
amazing.
They pop.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're playing in a football field-sized theater space. So mm-hmm. everything's got to be bigger than normal to play.
It is in Southmoreland Park. That is directly west of the Nelson Atkins Museum of Art in that relatively small park there.
Yeah.
But you make good use of it.
We do, yes.
The famous tree that's always in the set there. I assume that's still there.
It's still there. We hope that it never goes away. It's beautiful, and it frames it so nicely, and it gives us such a great amount of shade when we work in the afternoons. We rehearse during the day for much of this past week.
Show opens tomorrow night, June 12th, and will run through July 1st.
That's right.
So you're all wrapped up by the 4th, so you don't have to worry about the fireworks like you sometimes do.
That's right. Time worked out on our side this year.
Yeah.
Yes. We do play Tuesday through Sunday evenings, and the park will open at 6 o'clock. Showtime is 8 o'clock every night. And people can come and bring their chairs and blankets and the seating on the lawn. If they want to reserve a chair up front, they can call the office or go to kcshakes.org.
Yeah, kcshakes.org. That's the website. Lots of information there. Southmoreland Park is located, if this helps, 4600 Oak Street, but it's essentially just west of the Nelson,
right.
Just across the street.
Right by those shuttlecocks, if people know where that is. It's like between the shuttlecocks and Winstead's, I think, if they can find us.
Those famous shuttlecocks,
that's
yes,
right.
Known for many things here in town. Yes, and a great cast, as we talked about.
Yes.
All of that.
Mm-hmm.
You always do a wonderful job out there. You start... It's still light when you start, but
yes.
Then as things get darker, the action seems to get a little more intense.
Yes. That's different than anywhere else. I mean, Starlight obviously has that issue. Any outdoor theater, because the first half is essentially in light of some kind, natural light, so it gets darker and darker. But even when we end our first half, it's not quite full dark. So once we come back from intermission, it will be full dark. So the show becomes sort of a completely different thing. Lights are able to help us in a way they weren't before. Costumes are designed based on that. I mean, everything has to be designed for, number one, to be outdoors in the elements, which is heat and rain and, who knows, wind. This winds we've had lately have been quite a thing, those winds. And then for light. And trying to keep the audience focused where we want them to look, it's very important as well.
Yes.
There's lots of things to see. Is when it's daylight, people walk by with a dog, and people ride by on a bike, and maybe there will be a helicopter.
Yes.
There was a helicopter last night in your scene, wasn't there?
There was, and then people drive by, and they like to shout and say, hey!
Or things.
Yes.
Yeah.
They don't realize what they're interrupting. Would Joe Papp have put up with that?
Sure. Sure he would. You have to. It's part of the deal. We have to accept a different kind of environment. It's hard work. It's harder work. The distances are longer. When you're in an indoor theater, the offstage and the onstage are, 10 to 12 steps away. Mm-hmm. Here we're all the way in the back. We have to hear our cues differently. We have to prepare to come on differently. We have to, it's just everything takes a lot longer, and it's just a bigger scope, bigger canvas.
Now, the gates open at 6:30, but you have lots
six.
Of... Six.
Uh-huh.
You have lots of pre-show entertainment.
We do. Yes, thank you. We have show talk every night done by either Phil Blue Owl Hooser, who's eternally popular, knowledgeable Shakespeare lover, and Dr. Felicia Hardison Landre, who will be out there. She's the professor at UMKC and knows everything there is to know about the 17th Earl of Oxford, who she thinks wrote these plays.
Yes.
So we have
that's
that
a good
debate.
Point. Yes. Yes. Dr. Landre believes that Shakespeare did not write all of his own
we
work.
Do, but I do, sorry, but she does not. So we've had many lively discussions about that, but she's very knowledgeable and learned and will share great insights about the play. And also our Team Shakespeare students have created their own parody of the play, so they will be performing that two times a night right before the show. In case people don't know the play, they want to get to know the play. And I will say that last year, parodying Hamlet and a tragedy is a lot easier than parodying a comedy. But I think they're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, I remember the year.
Did you see it?
Oh. Yeah, we saw a rehearsal of it, or kind of their first show last night. Mm-hmm. The actors saw it, and it was so funny. They did a great job. I would recommend it to go before the show and watch it.
Yes.
Because, if you're not familiar with the show, you can kind of get an idea of a little bit what it's about, and they do a great job making a parody of it.
I remember one year the Paul Meisner Puppets did it. I forget how long ago that was now.
They haven't done it for, it must have been 8-10 years ago, I'm thinking. Yeah.
But they really had people in stitches. Of course, puppets can do things that live performers can't do.
That's right.
They can get away, especially the language. They can get, strangely enough, they can get away with a lot of the language. So it's a very entertaining evening. You also have, refreshments inside the gates.
People can bring their own picnic basket and picnic on the lawn, or they can purchase food there. We have a great dinner vendor that serves Laotian inspired dishes.
Oh, wow.
Delicious. And we have tropical snow and we have kettle corn. So, got plenty of. I know. I'm just waiting for a big bag of kettle corn. It's pretty popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then people come early, they put down the blankets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Stay late.
It's an amazing community feel every night when people come and start sitting down together. They may sit near people they don't know, and I see them sharing food together and offering each other different things they've brought and
all
communicating.
Ages too, families. It's a great family show too. I think the kids will. There's so much humor in it. Kids will love it. I think too.
Yes.
So,
I think so.
Ages.
Yeah, the parents may need to go see the parody and understand the play because the kids never do. It's interesting. Children listen in a way that adults don't anymore.
Yep.
They just get it. So even if they've never seen Shakespeare, I've seen time and time again, young kids. Young, 5 to 10, watching their first Shakespeare play, telling their parents exactly what's going on, and them going, I don't know how they understood that. It's like, because they actually listen, and it is in English. We're speaking the English language. Yes. It's not like we're not. And our job is to make it as accessible as possible to everyone. So they're not going to get every word, but hopefully they will get every intention and every emotional feel and every funny thing that's happening. Hopefully we can make it clear to them in the physical language of the play as well, because it is the most important thing out there. I always say, if there's a group of guys, we have a bunch of gentlemen in matching uniforms because they've come from the war. Well, if they're all in a group talking and when it's your turn to talk, something should move. You should move an arm. You should make a gesture, because it's hard to tell from the back wall which of them is speaking.
Oh.
They look too similar,
even
though we're all very distinct. So we have to play everything physically much bigger. There's also a scene with masks, and I kept saying to the actors, please understand your face is not helping you now because it's covered, so we got to do more with the body, and it's during the dance. So that's been an interesting thing. You get to take your mask off, though.
Well, I'm the lucky one. I get to take my mask off when I talk, but everybody else who has dialogue has to leave their mask on, and it's a challenge.
Interesting. Did you have the mask specially made?
We had some from the last time we had done this. We had some gorgeous Italian-style Commedia masks that were quite ornate, some of which we don't know what happened. Some of them disappeared. So we had to have them remade, and we now have a full complement, which we're going to put under lock and key so we never lose them again. But, they're pretty gorgeous.
Yeah,
they are.
Fun. Yeah.
You get to talk in your mask.
I do.
There's a scene in the dance when they're the two of them. He's pretending he's not himself. So we have to always do this willing suspension of disbelief, right? She doesn't know it's him until she does,
until
he's wearing his mask, and
he
thinks she does.
Kids will figure it out.
Of course they will.
Kids will have known from the minute, right?
Yeah.
I mentioned Joe Papp earlier, but that's really how the festival started. Beryl and Strauss was in New York and probably seeing Shakespeare in Central Park.
Yes.
Directed by the infamous Joe Papp.
Right.
And he talked to her and he convinced her that she should start a festival here in Kansas City.
Yeah. She had been in New York and she's a Tony Award-winning producer. And they knew each other and were friends. And she said she'd let him know at some point she was coming back home to Kansas City. And he said, go home, start a Shakespeare festival, put it in a park, keep it free. That's what he told her.
Yeah.
And keep it professional. And that's what she did.
Yeah.
26 years ago.
Oh, sure. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
And you've been with it most of that time.
I used to be the assistant director. I was hired in the third season, and I became the assistant director for many years and quietly helped shape the vision of help the directors get their vision across. And then the first show I got to direct was Twelfth Night with my friend Cinnamon Schultz.
Yay.
Playing Olivia. That was wonderful. And then that was the year that Bruce Levitt, who had been the artistic director, stepped down and they offered me the full-time position. So, my first full season was the 10th year.
Yeah, and, it, and you have events going on all through the year.
I
get the emails that you send.
Yeah.
You're not just in June and July. You're throughout the year. You have things going on.
That's right. We do. Right now, we are finishing up our final McNeil Family Shakespeare Series talk at the library. That's coming up on June 26th at 6 o'clock. There's information. It's free. There's information on the KC Library page about that. We'll be doing a collaboration with the Bach Aria Soloists in December of this coming year. It's really fun to bring music and Shakespeare scenes together. We've done that with them a few times, and Cinnamon has done that. Mm-hmm. And just bringing together the Baroque music that plays around what the scenes are and trying to emotionally put together a program that makes sense is awfully fun. We'll be doing that again with them. We just did a slew of things last year. It was our 25th year, so we did collaborations with the ballet, Kansas City Ballet, Kansas City Symphony, Kansas City Rep. We did just a variety of things all year. And we were at the Kansas City Museum. We did a fun thing up there in that gorgeous space, which is now being massively renovated. But we did a morning of love scenes from Shakespeare. It was really fun. Cinnamon did that as well.
Yes.
So Cinnamon's always with me. We just always do stuff together. Darren's now going to be attached to me, too. He's really excited about it.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Much Ado About Nothing opens tomorrow night at Southmoreland Park. The website, if you want more information, kcshakes.org, or just show up around 6 o'clock. And parking's probably difficult. Do you have any recommendations?
The Nelson Atkins Museum parking lot is available. That's the best option. It's just a few steps from the festival. You can step right down. If you're a Friends of Art member, it's free. If not, there's a $10 charge. And then there is street parking available. You can also park over at the Kauffman Gardens. They allow us to have people park at that parking lot. And at the UMKC lot at 50th and Oak as well. Yeah. Can't find street parking.
It should be a fun night for everyone that goes. If they have never been exposed to Shakespeare before, this is probably a good opportunity.
It is. Don't be afraid. Come. If you've never seen it, I think you'll enjoy it. I think everyone who comes to the park, to my knowledge, everyone who speaks to me about it anyway, is always like, I had no idea this was here. This is amazing. I will be back. So we've converted a lot of people who thought maybe Shakespeare was not for them. It is for them. It's for everyone.
Everybody. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's beautiful outside.
Yeah. Gates open about 6 o'clock 6 p.m. O'clock. First come, first serve, except for if you reserve
a
spot.
Yep.
So bear that in mind. The actual show gets underway about
8 p.m. It should be done by 10:30.
Yeah. 6th year?
Yeah. Yay.
Much Ado About Nothing going on in Southmoreland Park, 4600 Oak, but it's just west. It's the little park that's just west of the Nelson Atkins Museum in the plaza area Kansas City. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Michael, for coming once again.
Sydney Garrett, the director and the executive artistic director of the Heart of America Shakespeare Festival. Darren Kennedy, who plays the role of Benedict, and Cinnamon Schultz, who plays the role of Beatrice. In Much Ado About Nothing, starting tomorrow night in Southmoreland Park. Thanks so much for being with us.
We'll see you in the park.
We're going to take a deep break. Thanks for coming. We're going to take a brief break. Then we're going to journey over to Lee Summit, where they're doing, as it turned out, a very timely show, Next to Normal, about manic depression and its effect on people, and in light of things happened in the last week, an important topic to talk about when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM. Thank you very much, Mr. Murphy. You're welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host, and I want to add to that, I want to thank all of the people who donated to this show and all the programs here on KKFI during the fund drive over the last 10 days. We very much appreciate your support here on the station. And this has kept KKFI on the air for 30 years now. So a big 30th anniversary celebration is coming up in just a few weeks. So if you don't know about that, you need to call down here or go on our website, kkfi.org, and learn all about that. 30 years of community radio, KKFI. Welcome all of you. We're going to journey on now to the Summit Theater in Lee Summit, Missouri. And they operate, at least they perform, over at the Longview campus of the community college out there, the Cultural Arts Center and the Black Box Theater, 500 Southwest Longview Road in Lee Summit, where they are presenting the show Next to Normal. Now, the interesting thing about Next to Normal, it is a show about manic depression, and in light of the incidents of last week, I know originally a Kansas City girl, Kate Spade, she went to St. Teresa's. I know that, and I know several people who say they went to school with her. That was very surprising indeed. And Anthony Bourdain just shocked me. Very successful man, but people get manic depression, and we often don't know what to say to them or for them. And this is the gist of the play. Several of the actors are here. We also have Ginger Birch is with us. She is the company manager for the theater group.
Yes.
Welcome. Why did Lee Summit decide to do Next to Normal? Was there a reason? And pull the mic much closer to your mouth. You're way too far away. Well, I have trouble hearing you. Why did they pick Next to Normal for their schedule? It's quite a heavy show.
It is. We just felt it fit really well with the season that we were going for our 18-19 season, and a piece of really relevant contemporary theater that hasn't been done much in the Kansas City area, and we felt it would just fit our audience base well, and we had it was the right time and the right people to use.
Yeah, and we have two of the actors in the show Next to Normal. Alicia Stoltz.
Stoltz, correct.
Plays the mother. She's the one with the manic depression.
Yeah, I play the character who is the catalyst for so many other things that happens in this show. The overarching story is the disease that Diana has and her travels, her journeys through the various forms of treatment, and how that affects her relationships and her relationship with her husband, with her daughter, and then the relationships that her daughter has with her boyfriend. It is truly a story about the relationships that have to deal with this disease and how that is taken care of, and then the choices that Diana ultimately makes to kind of take control of her life and make the very hard decision to move forward instead of backward and try to help herself as opposed to kind of letting everybody else lead her into that state. So that's the whole gist of it. And I get to play that. So,
yeah, in instances that I know of, well, that's as much as I'll say about it. But in the instances I know of, the family doesn't really know what to do.
And in this, that is correct. My husband on stage, expertly played by Stan Cole, is just phenomenal. And his role is that of caretaker and taking care of his wife, doing everything that he can, while sometimes forgetting that he has his own needs. And we see that come through through the whole run of the show itself as well.
Now, Gabe Livingston, you play the son, I'm guessing?
I play the director.
Oh,
yeah. He's okay. Our fabulous director.
Well, what kind of insight do you give your performers? They have to deal with... You look so young. Like you say. And you have great hair, by the way.
Yeah,
great waves in there.
Yes.
How do you tell them to deal with this? It's a very difficult subject, and people who deal with this in real life, they're often just as puzzled as they can be. What do I do to help her? Except
Absolutely.
Encourage her to seek help, of course. But other than that, how do I deal with her on a daily basis?
Absolutely. So one of the things when we started to rehearse the play and started to kind of figure this beast out was it's not a show about an issue. So while it is about manic depression and bipolar disorder and courses of treatment, we're not here to focus on that. It's about relationships, which is kind of what Alicia hit on a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And it was just important for everyone to understand their role in that and how they're affected by it. We're telling a story about people, not a disease.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really important to starting our process.
Let's talk about the members of the family. Mm-hmm. Who is involved and how are they affected by what's going on with her?
Right. So Alicia Stoltz here is playing Diana Goodman, the mom. And Diana is the character suffering from manic depression, bipolar disorder, which is kind of triggered by a traumatic event in her life, and she's been dealing with this for years and years and years. She has a family, and she mentions Stan Cole playing Dan Goodman, her husband, who is ultimately there taking care of her, trying to hold it together. He says often in the show, it's going to be good, it's going to be fine. He's trying to hold it all together here. While there are a lot of things, like, this affects him just as much, and they've been through the same things, and he's holding it together for the sake of his wife. But underneath all that is his own struggle and his own darkness that he carries with him. Mm-hmm. They have their children. Natalie is their daughter, and she her whole life, her mother's been struggling with this, and all she really wants is a relationship with her parents and a life at home. And she says that she doesn't need normal, but something next to normal is what she needs. That's where the title comes from, a moment in Act Two of our show. So she's very driven academically, trying to get into a good school, make a good life for herself, because she wants a good life, and she wants that relationship with her parents. And so her relationship then with boyfriends and things, that's been kind of affected by her life at home. So this big issue with Diana is just far-reaching to everyone she encounters.
Yeah, I imagine word probably gets around, there's something the matter with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And how do they deal with that?
You know, it's because they do have a moment in Act Two where they're kind of looking back on memories, and she goes to her daughter's swim meet and ends up in the pool, and you know, she...
It's like, oh, you're that mom.
Yes, yeah. She's that mom at the events, and she tried to go to her piano recital and just is too anxious to get out of the car and take part, and it's deeply affecting to Natalie, because she yearns for that relationship, and a lot of what happens in the show is they just have to internalize a lot of that sadness and that darkness, because they have to be there for her suffering from this illness.
Sure. How do you prepare for this? Do you know people? I don't name names, of course. Do you know people? Know of situations?
I think that everyone knows someone who needs help in various stages of their life. Preparing for this role, this was one of those bucket list characters for me, and for a lot of reasons. It has been a journey, not only for me, but for my fellow castmates, to really put ourselves into these roles and not go down the rabbit hole, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It would be very easy to get very caught up in some of the emotions that go along with it. But for me, being able to sing this fabulous score that we have, I'm able to get a lot of that out. So I don't have to take it home with me. I'm lucky I have a very supportive family. My husband and my sons are very supportive, and they're so excited for this. So that helps a lot too. But, you know, when we talk about those individuals who are out there, yeah, I think everybody knows them. We all have our demons. We all handle them differently. And we all look for ways to get through that. So if by coming to this show and seeing a friend of theirs on stage portraying a character like this, then maybe that will spark a conversation or a need and ask a, wow, how did you do that? And maybe that conversation will start then. And that's what I would like to have happen, is to kind of start some of those conversations with our audience and have the start of something really good that comes out of it for a lot of people.
Yeah, you wonder how many people will see elements of themselves.
Yeah, exactly. I do not, in my opinion, struggle from any kind of mental illness. I think other people might tell you differently.
None of us are normal. I will say
none
this.
Of us are normal.
None of us are really normal. You have to understand that.
But I see so much of myself in this character without that. The relationship that I have with my onstage husband, the relationship there with my husband, the relationship that I have with my children,
children. There are so many elements that affect the day-to-day life without the overarching storyline of that mental illness. So I think that there is something that everyone can relate to. Even without that, that's just that nugget that's kind of hanging over the whole thing. But when you see that, those reactions of love and of anger and of frustration with your spouse, we all do that. We all go through those things.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And you know, it's, you have such a journey in the show. As I remember, she had a lot of ups and downs. She was better. She was worse. And things could turn on a dime.
Exactly.
So to speak.
Exactly. It doesn't take a lot to make it happen, but it happens, and we get through it. We get through it as actors, we get through it as a family, we get through it as people. And that's the journey we all take.
Gabe, do you want to talk about some of the other performers in the show?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've kind of talked about Stan Cole a little bit, who's playing Dan the husband. Very talented actor from the Blue Springs area. We've got Peyton Meyer playing Natalie, the daughter, and she is 16. She's our youngest. She's just blown us away. She's got a lot of experience kind of over on the Kansas side in her high school, a lot of vocal training, that kind of thing. And she's grown a lot in our rehearsal process, and we're really excited to open with her. And
I'm so proud.
Yeah, so
I'm very proud of her.
Oh, yes. you know, and one of my friends from high school is playing her boyfriend. His name's Johnny Brasino. He's back from St. Louis. He goes to Webster Conservatory, and he's really astounding us, jumping into a musical role really for the first time, and really blowing us all away. We've got Kyle Hyde playing the son, and he's done a lot out at the park and that kind of thing, and we're really excited to have him in Summit Theater Group, and it's a wonderful group that really works well together and feeds off of each other, helps each other through, strong musicians and actors.
And Jesse.
Oh, Jesse, too. He's wonderful as the doctor, provides a lot of insight to us, and just has a gorgeous voice, so we're excited about him as well.
Show opens on Friday, June 15th at 7:30 p.m. Performances continue on Saturday the 16th. Also at 7:30 p.m. Friday the 22nd then. We don't have a matinee that first weekend.
Mm-mm.
Right? At least it's not on the schedule I have. Friday the 22nd at 7:30 p.m. Saturday the 23rd at 7:30 p.m. Wraps up on Sunday afternoon the 24th with a 2:30 p.m. matinee at the Black Box Theater on the campus of Longview Community College in the Cultural Arts Center. The number to call, yes, I do have a number here, 816-463-2654, or online at summittheater.org. It's easy to remember, Lee Summit, summittheater.org. And tickets are available at the Lee Summit Hy-Vee stores if you go up to the front counter there where you would cash a check or something like that. They could do that for you there, and you can get tickets to see the Summit Theater production of Next to Normal. Stand by for a second, because we're going to talk about another show. Don't go anywhere. I might have more questions for you later. You never know. But Ginger and Brad Rackers, who is also here, you are directing, Brad, The Lion King. It's a Lion King Kids, is it called in this instance?
Lion King Junior, yes.
Junior, okay. Yes. Yeah, and turn the mic and talk more into it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, but that's the, I guess, the summer children's theater performance of,
yeah, so
of the
one
show?
We've actually started that new this year. So one of the things we're looking into is how Summit Theater can kind of start to do an educational outreach project as well for our younger audience members, and obviously families that live in the Lee Summit area or surrounding areas. So it's our first time attempting this, and we thought Lion King Jr. would be the perfect opportunity for that.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have a lot of kids audition for this? Did they have to go to a camp or a class first?
Yeah, so it is part of a camp. We're doing this with MCC Longview's College for Kids. We're also doing it in conjunction with Lee Summit West High School. So the three groups and Summit Theater Group are all working together on this production. So kids signed up for a camp. It's 2 weeks long. And then we are, through that 2 weeks, going to have auditions, rehearsals, and then put on a performance on our last day.
Now, The Lion King is a show that most kids like.
Of course, yeah.
And so they all want to play certain parts, probably one particular part in common. So as a director, how do you pick who goes with what role?
Yeah, so actually Ginger and I are working on this show together. Ginger's going to music direct the show, and then I'm going to be doing the staging. And we're going to do our auditions on the first day of camp, so it's going to be interesting. We haven't met these students yet. You know, we just have their names on a piece of paper at this point. But
okay, when is that coming up then? I thought it was soon.
Oh, it is. We open.
And you haven't auditioned yet?
No, because we're auditioning the first day of camp.
Oh, I see. Okay.
A week from today, we meet all of these children.
You're very confident that these kids can pick this up,
That's
obviously.
Right. Absolutely.
They can. They'll do it.
Yes, they will. And
so when is it starting?
We start on Monday with our camp. Uh-huh. So,
and when is the actual performances?
June 29th.
June 29th. Well, you do have a little bit of time there.
And, you know, the great thing about a junior production is it's a 70-minute production of a full Broadway show.
Oh, it's like 3 hours long. I've seen it. Yeah.
So, you know, you get the best moments of a Broadway show, but done in a really condensed form. So all these kids who are coming in aren't learning the full production. They're learning a production that's written for middle school students, basically. And so that's what'll make it a little bit easier for us to try to get this done in 2 weeks. But we have kids, you know, we know kids who are going to be at camp who've told us they want to be everything from, obviously, Simba or Nala all the way to they want to be a bird, they want to be a hyena.
Oh, really?
You know, I think they're just excited about the opportunity to play characters that they recognize from a film, or those of them who just got to see the show, you know, when he was here in Kansas City not too long ago. So I think they're excited to do theater, and especially theater that they can relate to on that kind of personal level because they have that experience with it.
Yeah. What about the music? There's a lot of fine songs in there.
Oh, yes.
How do you pick kids to do those songs?
Well,
and
I
do
don't
them
know.
Well.
Yeah, it's a lot of African language. So just like any other foreign language, they're going to have to learn some of the ins and outs of how to pronounce it. But kids are quick learners. They're going to pick it up fast. And it's all, again, short and condensed versions of the song. So they get to sing the best parts of the best songs. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It sounds like a big endeavor to do.
Oh, it is. It's a huge task. We're excited.
It begins June 29th. How long of a run do they have?
Just that day.
Just that day. We have a 1 o'clock show matinee and a 7 p.m. evening production. Tickets sold just directly at the door. So it's one and done. Or two and done.
And I'm assuming the Lee Summit West High School would be the best place to do it.
That's absolutely right. Yes. That's where we're hosting the camp, and that's where the performances will be as well.
You're the musical director, so how do you work with the young people? They have to be able to sing.
Oh yes. But we can work with just about anybody when it comes to kids. They're very willing to do what you ask. So just taking the time to teach them what they need and instilling confidence in them. That's the best way to get them started at that age.
If someone is interested in future performances of your Shakespeare camp, or are they still able to sign up for your camp even now? Do you know?
Not for Lion King. Our camp has been closed for a couple of weeks. So our hope is, of course, to continue this. We are starting it this year, but we already had such a great turnout for this year that we really think we can, you know, make this kind of a yearly event for people to have their kids come to camp and learn a show and get to perform.
So how soon will things open up for next year, perhaps?
That's a good question.
At the final week, we will discuss how things go and where we want to go from there. But we're pretty positive.
Experience tells me that there's mothers with pins right there. When do I ship these kids off to this camp?
I think, if anything, it'll be January of, say, 2019 that we'll probably have information available for next year's camp.
And two performances then on Monday, June the 29th.
Friday,
June the 29th.
Correct.
I wrote down Monday.
Yep.
Friday, June the 29th for the two times in one day performances of The Lion King Junior.
Yes.
Yeah. Which means a more condensed version of the play.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We're also really lucky that Lee Summit West High School has been very great in partnering with us and allowing us to use that space, but also their students who are going to help us with that camp as well. So it's a really great opportunity for them.
Now, you mentioned, I believe, tickets at the door. So you don't go to Hy-Vee for these?
Correct.
Or go online?
Correct. Yes. Tickets will only be sold at the door for these productions.
But
of Lion King Jr.
But for like Next to Normal, you can go online at summittheater.org, or you can go to your friendly neighborhood Hy-Vee store in Lee Summit. Both of them, there's two, or is there more than two now?
There's two.
Yeah. And the number to call then for more information, 816-463-2654. Does your season start in July, or is this the first show of the season?
This is the end of our season.
It's a season?
Mm-hmm. This ends our 17-18 season, and we kick off our 18-19 season with Shrek in August.
Another musical.
Yes.
When will auditions for that be?
They have already happened. Back in March, we are completely cast and have our first cast meeting this week and ready to go.
We're short on time, but a few highlights of your season, if you can think of the names.
Of our upcoming season?
Sure.
Yeah, we are starting off with the big family musical Shrek. We have our first time to do Shakespeare in the fall, in October. And then we've got a great holiday dinner theater piece that it's a Kansas City premiere in December, and another Kansas City premiere musical, Disaster, in March. And then we close with a comedy next June.
Doing a lot of musicals then during this season. Do you find that to be a higher
It brings
attention?
People out, sure. Definitely.
So. Sure. Well, thank you very much for answering that. You're probably waiting with great anticipation for your opening night.
We all are. We are knee deep into tech this week, so it's all coming together, and we are ready. We are so ready to be on stage for an audience this weekend.
Thank you so much for coming. Alicia Stultz, who plays the key role of the mother with manic depression in the show, and you get to see her journey. Gabe Livingston, the director of the show, and quite a difficult directing job, I would think.
Absolutely.
Especially in motivating the actors properly, I would think.
It's it's had its challenges, but had a lot of rewards as well.
So. I bet so. We had also Brad Rackers, who is directing The Lion King, and Ginger Birch, who is the company manager. I better read this instead of just guessing. The company manager for Lee Summit Theater Group of Lee Summit. Thank you all.
Thank you
so much
Thank
for
you
coming
so much.
To visit here at the Arts Magazine Show and tell us about what you're doing out in Lee Summit. The Jazz Insider is next. Sam Weisman, he has some great jazz planned for you this afternoon. The KKFI pattern, jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time.